Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I'm going to read a parable to you, that Jesus spoke. He was in a setting and he began to tell this parable, this story, which we know his stories have meanings. And the Holy Spirit's supposed to help us understand. And I may touch on a couple of the common understandings of this parable, but it's going to work our way towards something, hopefully this morning, that we can take hold of in this room. And so in Luke chapter 14, there's a segment of it that you may have a little subtitle that says The Parable of the Great Banquet. And it says, when one of those at the table with Jesus heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Okay, the marriage supper of the Lamb, that meal that's going to take place in the kingdom of heaven on that day. And Jesus replied with this story. A certain man was preparing a great banquet. He invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited already to come now, for everything is prepared. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, "I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Still another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servants to go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. "Sir," the servant said, "what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room." Then the master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were initially invited will get a taste of this banquet." We know that this is a parable, and one of the meanings is that we understand that there's an invitation that God makes, and we are to respond to that invitation. And He wants His house full on that day. And those who are His servants, or those who know Him and work for Him, and you can call them prophets if you were to equate this to some Old Testament context. And those would go out; they would go out and they would deliver forth the word of God and tell them to come. And that we are supposed to go and share the good news that Jesus invites them, He has come for them, and that they can respond in faith and that they can go to heaven. We know that this is a parable that has to do with evangelism, certainly on its surface level and certainly at a meaningful level. But I want us to look at Jesus is getting to the heart of something in people here. It's not just or only a parable about evangelism. It's a parable that has to do with the heart of people. My heart, your heart. You see, this parable, when Jesus tells it, He says that now that everything's ready, go out and get those who've been invited. Understand that there was an initial invitation that was made to people to come to this banquet. And they responded already. They said, that's the banquet. Okay, we'll be there. And now this invitation comes out. It's a follow-up invitation. It's a final invitation that comes and says, you've been invited. You responded and said yes. Well, guess what? Everything is now prepared. It's now ready. Come on over and let's eat, let's feast, let's enjoy, let's have this great celebration together. And now when the final invitation comes, those who said yes prior are now saying no, because something else has kind of come up. Have you ever done that? Has a friend ever invited you somewhere? or to their home or out to eat, whatever it is. And he said, yeah, that'd be great. And then when the confirmation call came, you went, oh, you know, you don't say it out loud, but inside you say, you know, I think I had a better offer. Or there's something else that kind of interested me. Something else, you know, here's the famous line. Something came up. It's an appropriate term. Something came up. Yeah, we're going to go to this banquet, but you know what? I got to go see a field I bought. Now, I am not in the real estate business, and I know cultures change and vary from place to place. Gail, do you know, because you are involved in real estate, do you know how many people buy property sight unseen? When you say not many, do you mean 10%? 5%?
Zero.
0%? Thank you, Gail. I mean, it's been done, I'm sure. You know, there's things we do sight unseen. But if you look back even into the history in that culture, this was not a common practice to buy a field that you didn't already see prior or know about. I just bought a field. I got to go see it. How many of you have bought in a car? Put your hand up if you bought in a car. Okay, none of my children should be raising their hands because I didn't see any money come from you. How many of you bought a car? Put your hand up. This is not a trick question. Now, keep your hand up, please. How many of you bought that car without driving it first? Keep your hand up. Okay, we're going to teach a class here. We're going to teach a... Actually, you know what? Don't say anything. Because no one's going to listen to you. Okay, thanks for keeping your hand up. All of you. I can't believe how many hands were still raised. Okay, we're going to do a class around here. One of the deacons are going to teach it. On a smaller level, do you know how many items have been returned from my household because they weren't tried on first? I tell them constantly, the store, did you try it on? No, you don't always. You don't always wear size. Thank you. Try it on.
I take them back all the time.
Man. You take them back. Okay. If you bought a car and you bought it and without driving it first, you know, God bless you. I'm still puzzled. Okay. The next one, come to the banquet. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, it's ready. Well, you know what? I just bought 5 teams of oxen, and I got to go try them out. I'm thinking you should have probably tried them out before you bought them. But, you know, people buy cars without driving them first, obviously. Something came up. Yeah, I'd love to, but I gotta bathe my elephant. I'd love to, but I gotta vacuum. Here's this invitation to come to a great banquet. Yeah. And now, when the final preparation is complete, somehow they lost their desire, or they rearranged their priorities. The last one, I'd like to, but I just got married. I don't know what that means. I mean, not the married part. I know what that means. I mean, why they, I don't know. We got married and went places. So, I don't know, maybe she said no. We're not going, you're married now. I don't know. I'm not saying that that's a Holy Ghost interpretation. It's just a human thought that whatever. Okay. What Jesus is getting at, because if you follow this passage along with the ones that come afterward, it talks about being a cost right away, of a cost of following him. Because we know that God is a God who blesses, a God who provides, a God who delivers, a God who meets needs, all of these things, which are true. But we have to be careful that we don't fall into the mentality, this mentality that following God is all about the banquet. Are there banquets? Are there great moments? Absolutely. Are there celebrations? Yes. Heaven is a celebration. They're celebrating now. They sing. They're excited. They dance. All of these things. Beyond what you and I express ourselves, even in this room, in what we call worship. But it's not all about the banquet. He tells this story about the banquet, and he goes right into the cost of being a disciple. The banquet is great, and the banquet is fun, and the banquet satisfies. But this love so amazing, so divine, that it demands this response. Demands my soul, my life, my all. There's this cost. It's not just a banquet. It's not just going to the celebration. It's not just going to Sunday morning. It's not just going to sunshine. These things are good and they're right. But it's got to move us beyond the banquet. Here they are with these mixed up priorities, rearranged priorities. They first said yes, and now they say no. When Christ's banquet of salvation was first poured out to us, or poured out to us at the moment we responded to say yes, between that point and now, do we still have the same salt? Or has it lost its ability to be salty? Because that's what Jesus goes into here. He goes into the cost of being a disciple. He talks about family. If you look in verse 25 and so on. I'm not going to read it to you. It talks about family. Will you love God more than your own family? It doesn't mean you treat your family bad. It doesn't mean you ignore them. It's who is priority, who is number one. And I want you to know that part of God being number one is also played out in how we treat our family. He goes on from family and he says, you have to lose your own life. You have to give over yourself and live unto Him. Talks about a builder who's building a house or a structure. And he says, they didn't count the cost, and now they can't finish the building. And how people will look at that person. He goes on to say a king is going off to war against another king in his land. And he begins to count the cost and calculate his troops against those who are his opponents. And he says if he's coming up short, what the wise king will do because he counted is he will send delegations out in advance to meet with that king to come up with some type of treaty of peace. Counting the cost. See, Jesus is not looking for us to respond in a naive manner. He's not looking for naive disciples. Jesus isn't just throwing the banquet like it's a big con thing. Saying, here's this big banquet, and here's all this good stuff, and oh, who are you? Yeah, now! You owe me. That's not what Jesus is doing. Jesus was never looking for a naive disciple. There are the blessings, there are the banquets, absolutely, no question. But you know what? There's a cost of following. That we are compelled to follow. That we've tasted of this marvelous banquet, this amazing love of His salvation, who He is. And it's got to compel us and move us to become changed. Inside. Salt is good, verse 34, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears, let him hear. That's what Jesus says. If you go right into chapter 15, now he talks about the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. So understand the context of what Jesus is teaching. You said yes, now you say no, because you have had time to rearrange and reprioritize the things that you think or feel are important to you. And now you're saying no to the banquet, which you first said yes to. And you have to know the cost of following me. So you make your judgment and count the cost. And if what you first said yes to and now you're saying no to, something's changed in the salt. That when the salt loses its ability to be salty, loses. And right away he goes into lost sheep, lost coin, lost son. And how did these people respond to that which was lost? They went out to find it. They waited for it. They prayed. They hoped. They put forth effort, whatever it was. Because that loss was serious. It was emergent. In light of that, I now need to look at my saltiness and is it lost? And I need to frantically put forth an action to make sure that it stays salty. I need to seek. I need to knock. I need to find. I need to do whatever it is. So that which I said yes to, I now do not say no to. We want to be the living church. We want to serve in the community, and we want to serve our neighbor, and we want to do these things. We want to say yes to the things God has called us to as people or as a church. We say yes because they sound good, and we know that they fit, and it seems right. But as the moments and the days unfold and the weeks go by and the months go by and, something came up. Does this make sense to you? To just mow my neighbor's lawn but not really take care of my own. The first half makes sense, doesn't it? Mow your neighbor's lawn, but not take care of my own. Where is it you want to serve? And where is it you want to work? And where is it you want to help? And where is it you want to do things? That's right, that's good. But we also have to take a look at where God has called us to and the responsibilities within our life. That we also serve there. Because we will lose our saltiness. Our ability here on earth to bring the flavor of Christ and salvation, that which we tasted of at the banquet. You see, this banquet is about reaching people, absolutely no question. But the deeper wisdom in this is about the heart of people who taste at the banquet or were invited to the banquet, who said yes, and when it's time, they now say no because something has changed in their heart and they've not counted the cost. They're losing something. And will they go and find it to regain it? Parables stand on their own. The words of Jesus stand on their own. But in interpreting Scripture, you have to look at the context of which it is in. Listen, when they wrote the letters and did these things, they didn't write chapter 15 and verse. It was just written down. These things came after time to help us categorize things and to be helps to us. Jesus tells a story about the great banquet. And yes, go and reach people. And he wants his house full. And it's going to be a great celebration. But right from there, he goes right into the cost of being a disciple and counting the cost. And don't lose your saltiness. Do you remember the two sons? They were asked to do something, and one said, yeah, and went away and never did it. And the other son who said, no, I'm not going to do it. And he walked away and he thought about it. He counted a cost and he ended up and he went and did it. In the end, which one was more honorable? Somebody didn't lose their saltiness. Somebody changed their mind and reprioritized to get into agreement with God or with his Father. God loves the banquet. And he wants his house full. And he wants the message and the invitation to go forth to all people, everywhere, all the time. But those of us who've already responded to the invitation, somewhere along the line, we've got to continue on in the acceptance and the development of that invitation of salvation and following Christ, understanding the cost. Understanding the cost. See, that's a heart issue. That's a character issue. That's a work of the Holy Spirit issue in the life of a person. And it's not just about doing things for God. It's about having the inward work of the Holy Spirit and that relationship with Him, that we are transformed now in the way that we think and the decisions we make, that amazing love, that divine love, so divine that I am now compelled for inward change, that which I said yes to, not being naive, but responding to Christ, reaching to me, saying yes, that I now have to live different. In inward change, not just going through the motions that seem right and look right, but counting a cost, understanding that God is number one, that He is Yahweh, the God who is and causes to be, that I can really actually find myself in Him when I lose myself. I can count the cost and not just be looking for the banquet. If you are losing your saltiness, press into Him. Seek that you don't lose it. And let it be activated and be useful. And it's not about just preserving the salt. It's about allowing the salt to go and preserve and save. The salt of Christ in our life to preserve people for eternity. From the first invitation of God to you, maybe there's been some ups and downs and back and forth. But you know what? Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight. Not passive. Fight the good fight of faith. The battle. Because there's a whole lot to try to rob you of your saltiness. There are a whole lot of things to try to get into our life, creep into our life. They just barge in sometimes. Sometimes they're subtle. Sometimes they're very overt. To come into our heart, our life, to cause us to shrink back from the initial invitation. To allow something to come up. You and I have got to be careful that we don't set up things in our life to become insulators. They insulate us from stepping forward and moving forward into what God has for us. They are insulators. They come in. They are like barriers. They are like intrusions. And you know what the weird thing is about us? Is some of them we've invited in and built ourselves. Isn't that true? And that's where we need the help of the Holy Spirit. Need the help of the Holy Spirit. That we do not shrink back from the first invitation that we've accepted. And that we don't lose our saltiness in between. That we search for it like a lost child. We search for it like an engagement ring. That's what that lost coin's all about. You're going to get married someday. Okay. Well, you smile about it. Yeah, I mean, be happy. Okay. You can get married someday. Okay. And you're toting around that big 2-carat ring. Well, you know. Yeah. Warning, warning, warning. She's about the carrots. No, I'm kidding. I mean, this is the ring you have waited for. I mean, you've liked this guy. You've loved this guy. You've been through up and down with this guy. And he finally got smart and proposed. and he places on your finger the ring. It could be like a quarter carat. It's going to look like a 2-carat to you because it's just woohoo. It's about what it means. And you're wearing it, and you know, and then you wake up the next morning, and you're at home, and it's gone. Okay, you're getting better. You're getting better. Can you imagine? I mean, what would you go through? You don't know? Warning, warning's back on. You'd better be frantic. You better look for the ring, not a new guy. You better look for it. I've seen my house turned upside down and inside out with my children looking for something that they couldn't find that was less valuable than that. Of course, if they cleaned in the beginning, they wouldn't... Never mind, that's a whole nother... That is how we've got to go after our salt. To look for it and not to lose it. That which we've been invited to, we're going to show up to. Amen. That which is important in our life, they're going to be in the right priorities. But all of them second to that. To his call, to his invitation, to his purpose, to his mission. To his gospel, to his good news. We would not lose our saltiness, our passion, our hunger, our thirst, our commitment. The cost of following him. How many of you serve on some kind of committees in the community or volunteer work or something like that? Any of you? Put your hands up. Okay? A few of you. When we look at doing those right and good things, which we should be a part of, I've got to find me another question that follows with it. If I'm doing that here and I'm being light in the marketplace, that's good and right. But what am I doing serving in his kingdom? I've got to balance those things. They're all right and good. But where am I serving here? It doesn't have, when his kingdom is bigger than this church, so I'm not just talking about this church. Because we have got to be out. That's what the salt is about. We have got to take a look and have the Holy Spirit really help us in this. What type of influence is happening in my life, in other people's lives? What type or kind of influence? It's not just how many are being influenced. Is it what kind of influence? Because the audience has changed for us. But what kind of influence? Help me understand it and see it. Because if there isn't any, then I've lost my salt. Jesus is getting to the heart of people. He's speaking to the heart of the followers. They're saying, yeah, yeah, I want to follow you. Yeah, yeah, I want to go. I'm invited. Yeah, 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 yeah. He says, this is a cost. It's not just about the banquet. It's about God being number one. And that through him being number one, he helps us prioritize everything else in our life so that the salt does not lose its saltiness and can be effective, bringing glory to him and influencing people around us that they also would be at the banquet. So I've got to walk away from these verses and understanding what Jesus is saying. And I've got to say, okay, Randy, how are you doing? Not to be hard on myself, not to be easy on myself. How am I doing? Holy Spirit, you help me right now. You help me. You help me see that which is right, that which is good, that which is fruitful, that which is lean, that which is lacking, that which I need to pay more attention to. Because I have got to find the saltiness as if it was going to be gone or lost. And we can say yes, yes to the banquet. But between yes, yes and the actual banquet, people lose their saltiness, their passion, their priorities get rearranged. The great news is there's also time to continue to count that cost and keep the right priority at the top.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.